up, we'll be strong, we'll wait on God. And by his grace, even though our eyes don't see it, if God has said it, we'll believe it and hold on to it in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house once again. Holy Spirit, as we go into your word, we pray more than ever before that today no one would hear man, but that we would hear you in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that just like we read in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, it rested on every single head that was in that room. And they were all, without exception, filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that this day of Pentecost, that what they experienced so many years ago, that we would experience in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, not just for ourselves, but for your children all over the globe that would be meeting today, Pentecost 2018, that what happened over 2,000 years ago, that it would happen all over the world in the name of Jesus. In Acts 10, when you sent Peter to Cornelius' house, the Bible tells us that as Peter shared your word, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In other examples, we see that when people were prayed for, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, as they gathered in one accord, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 4, as the apostles faced persecution and they gathered and they prayed with all their hearts, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, my prayer today is that none of us would leave this place today without being filled with your Spirit. Speak to us, Lord. Let us have an encounter with you that we can never recover from today in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. Oh, do we know it's a good morning? Let's try again. Good morning, church. You know, I didn't understand when Kay said, oh, God loves a cheerful giver. He does, right? And Kay looked this way, so I was there as well. So Kay was looking at me too. And he goes, not the way you're looking, but I get it now. So before we go into the word, I want us to remind ourselves that God is good. God is good, right? So even if you're tired, physically tired, tired in any way, I know there's exams and all that, God is still good, right? So please, can two people tell us something they're grateful for? Let's find those smiles. Let's find those thankfulness. Two people. I'll ask for volunteers and then I'll just call people. Any two people. Okay, let me rephrase my question. Is anybody here grateful to God for anything? Wonderful. Magli.
I'm grateful for life, for being in a new country, and God have been keeping me safe, providing me with great church members that's also like a family to me. And I'm also grateful for my father who finally out of the hospital and back home. Thank you, Jesus. He is still being monitored constantly, but at least he is home right now where he's closer to the family. And I'm looking forward to summer break so I can go and see him, give him the biggest hug and kiss I can ever give him.
And God will perfect everything that concerns him in Jesus' name. So let's give God praise. Let's smile on behalf of Sister Magli. Even if you feel you don't have anything, and you do, the fact that we're alive. One more person, please. What are you grateful for?
I just want to thank God for life, for good health, for blessing us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for life. We were talking about death in Sunday school. Life is not a right. It's God's grace. It's God's goodness. So we thank God. So see, we have things to be grateful for. So can I see some smiles, some grateful people? Amen. And as you smile, God would keep that smile on your face in Jesus' name. Okay, so today is an extremely significant day in Christendom. because today is when Pentecost is marked, the day of Pentecost, which we read about in Acts 2. And I was thinking about Pentecost, and I've been praying towards this weekend, because for me, I think about the first Pentecost, and the first Pentecost didn't start in Acts chapter 2. Do we know that? There was Pentecost before. So it was just that it was when they celebrated Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came. But then when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, for believers of Jesus, the meaning of Pentecost changed. But so it was Pentecost. All the Jews outside of that upper room, they were marking Pentecost. But for some people, for everyone in that upper room, Pentecost marked them. Does that make sense? So these guys, they were all marking Pentecost outside, and they continue to mark Pentecost. But the guys in that upper room, Pentecost marked them. Now my prayer for myself, my prayer for you, is that this Pentecost, it wouldn't be that in Christendom we're marking Pentecost. My prayer is that Pentecost would mark us like those first believers in Jesus' name. So Friday Vigil, one of the prayer points that we took, we prayed for Christians that are being persecuted. And in praying for the Christians that are being persecuted in the UK, all over the world, one thing that strikes me is, you know, in 1 Corinthians, when God was talking in 12, 1 Corinthians 12, it says, if one part hurts, we all hurt, right? And for the persecuted church, that's so true. But not only is it true that if my brother is hurting, then I'm hurting. If your sister is hurting, you're hurting. This thing is coming so close to home now. And actually, I feel like when I pray for people that are being persecuted, and I'm praying for the persecuted Christians, and when you pray for the persecuted Christians, you know what you're doing? You're actually praying for yourself. You're, in a sense, banking the prayer. Because persecution is coming, right? And I pray that in the day of trouble, God would send us help in Jesus' name. The Bible says that if in the day of trouble, if your strength is weak, then it's weak indeed. So we pray now so that when it comes by His grace, we wouldn't deny God. Our strength would be strong, like the choir sang, in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy 3:10-15. 2 Timothy 3:10-15. And we're reading this with this in mind. Not everybody believes that persecution is coming or is at the door or is here. So we're reading 2 Timothy 3:10-15. This is Paul's charge to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:10-15. Most of my readings today would be from the NIV version. So it says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. So this is Paul talking to Timothy, his spiritual son, saying, you know me, you know all that I went through. He says, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Verse 12, and I want us to pay attention to verse 12, Paul talking. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and from your infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, not maybe, will be. John 16:33, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. John 16:33, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you would have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you would have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So the question is, why is it important as Christians that we know that persecution and tribulation would come? It's not an exciting topic. Why is it important that we know? If today's message was about, I don't know, three steps, let me just go for something really way out. Three steps, three guaranteed steps to become a millionaire. That's more exciting. That's more, yeah, preach it, preach it, preach it. But we're talking about persecution. Why? Why is it important that we know persecution is going to come? It's important because if we don't know and persecution comes, then it becomes a case of, why am I going through what I'm going through? Why am I in front of the employment tribunal at work when all I did was preach to my colleague because I don't want him to go to hell? What's God looking at? What's God doing? And I'm going through all this. But if we know that persecution is going to come, when it comes, it's like, wow, I'm doing something right. Because Paul said, anyone who's going to live a godly life, persecution would come. And if persecution doesn't come, if trouble doesn't come, if challenges don't come, man, examine your life very well. Matthew 7 talks about the two ways. It talks about the narrow way and the broad way. It says the narrow way that few find it. It says the narrow way is difficult, but the broad way, that's the easy road. So if persecution doesn't come, challenges don't come, there aren't things that you need God's grace and God's strength to break through, then you want to check the road you're on. Make sure that indeed you're on the narrow road. That's in Matthew 7 tells us that many, they'll come to Jesus and say, we prophesied in your name, we casted out demons in your name. And he'll say, I didn't know you. These guys, they thought they were on the narrow road, but actually they were on the highway to hell. Persecution would come. Matthew 24 verses 9 to 13 also shows us why we need to know that persecution would come. Matthew 24 verses 9 to 13. Matthew 24 verses 9 to 13. It says, then you would be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many would turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. One of the prophecies for 2018 said that the countdown to the end has begun. We look at what's happening in the world. Israel being 70, the countdown to the end has begun. The Bible says the generation that sees that will not pass away. So we're in the end times. And this is what's going to happen in the end times. Persecution comes and people will get offended. People will turn away from God. But if you are one of those that know that this thing that I've been called to be, I'm in an army. I'm a soldier. I'm not on a cruise ship. A soldier is expecting war. A soldier is training for war. So when the war comes, the soldier is not wondering what on earth is going on. But a civilian is not expecting war. So a civilian is going to be the one that would wonder what's going on. So we need to recognize that we are soldiers. We need to recognize who we are. We're in a war. And the enemy of our soul, Satan, he's not playing games with us. He wants to take us out. But Jesus said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. We probably know so many stories of people facing persecution here in the UK right now. The UK, go back a few years, if you had said that the UK would be supporting some of the policies that they're supporting, if you had said that the UK would be attacking Christianity, the way Christianity is coming under attack, you would have said it's not possible. The UK sent missionaries all over the world, right? But now in the UK, the things that they were fighting for, the things that they took all over the world, that's what now, if you say you believe in, it's problematic, right? The last Prime Minister, David Cameron, now this is the UK that sent missionaries all over the world. When he was talking about what they were going to take all over the world, what was it? Homosexual marriage. That's what, how far the UK has gone. We know the story. I'm sure we've all heard of the Asher Bakery and what they're going through. And by God's grace, God would see them through. But let's pray for them. This is a Christian bakery. What did they do wrong? Somebody comes along and wants them to bake a cake which says support gay marriage on the cake. And they say, sorry, we can't do that. We don't believe in that. It's not that they didn't have a relationship with this person. They had baked cakes in the past. So it wasn't about the person. It was the message, and they made that clear. But what happens? They're in court, and they're in court, and they're in court, all the way to the Supreme Court. And now they're waiting for the results of that case. That's the world that we live in now. you look at cases that guys like the Christo Legal Center, Christian Institute are fighting. Now these cases, it's cases like a nurse having a cross to work. It's cases like somebody gave their colleague a Christian book. I hear some of these cases, and you know, once I actually thought about it, and I started to want to put their number in my phone, because this is what I do. It's not like, I don't know how to put it. It's not like they did big, fantastic things to get them into trouble, right? So it's like, do we now need the Christian Legal Center number on our phones? Another person, it was almost as if the colleague was out to trap them. The colleague asked them about their faith. They shared their faith and all that. Next thing, employment tribunal. Magistrates losing their jobs because why? They wouldn't put a child with two gay people. This is the world that we're in now. For another one, somebody studying in Sheffield University, nothing to do with uni, just puts his opinion on Facebook. I mean, most of us have Facebook pages and all that. Has nothing to do with his course. And on it, they were talking about a case in America where I think a clerk or someone got into trouble because they didn't want to marry two homosexuals. And he put his opinion on what he believes from the Bible. 2 months down the line, he's called by uni. He's expelled from university for putting what he believes in Facebook. You give a sermon, a message. This is the times that we're in. I heard something where they were saying that even churches might need to be careful. You put your messages on your website, anybody can go and listen and say, I'm offended by what you said. But these are the times that we're in. Persecution is coming. Persecution has come. But when it comes, what would we do? For instance, this guy, the Felix guy, his wife has written like a little booklet about the whole experience from their perspective, and they still believe in God. Just living their lives like a regular couple, never knowing that a little discussion on Facebook was going to bring all this to them. And the school is ready to forgive all. All you just have to say is, look, what I wrote is not what I believe, and that's it. Everything is fine. You can go back and continue your course. Now, if that were you, you're going to lose your job, but you're fine. You won't lose your job if you just say, you know what, homosexual marriage is fine. When the heat comes, when the persecution comes, what are we going to do? What am I going to do when the persecution comes? Colleagues are talking in the common room or something. There's an opportunity. You feel the Holy Spirit nudging you to say something, but you know it might get you in trouble. Somebody might be offended. Are you going to listen to God, or are you going to keep quiet? Persecution's coming. The Nigerian girl, pastor was reminding us yesterday, I'm not sure her age, maybe 13 or something, the Boko Haram people kidnapped all these guys. I know some of us would know that story. Kidnapped all these girls. They released everybody, but they didn't release this girl. Why? I think a 13-year-old girl, because she refused to deny her faith. If that were you and I, what would we do? What would we do? Persecution's coming. Standing for Jesus might mean that some of us lose our jobs. It might do. Who knows? It might mean that we're called names, we're called things. In that Matthew 24, he said, you'll be handed over. You'll be hated. You know, now for believing what the Bible says and standing for what the Bible says, they now make it look like you're the bad guy. You're not loving. You're a bigot. You're being unreasonable. But what would we do? What would we do? And you know, I think about before Acts 2, the disciples, they loved Jesus, no doubt, right? They loved Jesus. They knew Jesus. But when they came to arrest Jesus, and we're reading John 16, verse 32. Before they came to arrest Jesus, Jesus had said this to the disciples. He said, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered. John 16, 32. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You would leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. And like Jesus said, when they came and took Jesus, everybody scattered. Peter loved Jesus, as in Peter loved Jesus. When everyone scattered, Peter was still following and was still following. But when the heat came, Peter denied Jesus, and he denied Jesus. And it wasn't that he didn't love Jesus. We might say sometimes that, oh, if I really know God, if I know Jesus, when the heat comes, when the persecution comes, when it comes to do the right thing, as long as I know, I really know God, I'll be fine. These guys, they knew God. They loved God, but yet. But then I then flip past Acts 2 and you go to Acts 3. You go to Acts 4. And these same guys that scattered, the same authorities they were scattering and running from, suddenly something has changed. They're like new people. If we go to Acts 4, the background to this is they've been preaching all about. The authorities are not happy. The authority throw them in prison overnight, let them sober up in prison overnight, and then the next day they call them. And Acts 4:18, we're going to read Acts 4:18 to 20. So this is the authorities talking to them after a night in jail. Acts 4:18 to 20. It says, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Basically, what they were saying to the authorities is, do your worst. We answer only to God. This is the same authorities that they all scattered. So I ask myself, and this is encouragement and hope for you and I, wherever we're at now, however cowardly we might feel, however inadequate we might feel, something happened in between what happened previously and what happened after Acts 2. And it's Acts 2 that happened. Pentecost marked them. When the Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts 2, those guys, it was like they became different people, right? The people that were cowardly were ready to die for God. It was like, do your worst. We answer only to God. Maybe in the common room or with your colleagues or with your classmates, you feel very cowardly, very difficult to stand for Christ. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. What happened to the apostles? The apostles, they had seen Jesus raise the dead. They had seen all sorts of amazing things. They had walked with Jesus. They knew Jesus as well as any human being can. But after the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were new people. And I believe that in these times that we are, more than ever, we need the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit comes upon you, comes upon me, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the Holy Spirit like these guys were, that's when we can stand. That's when we can be like that 13-year-old girl and say, I'm not going to deny my faith. That's why when we can be like the young Arab boy, I think he was about 12, 11. This boy, they said, we're going to kill you, death. We're going to kill you if you don't deny your faith. He didn't, and they killed him. That's when we can be like that. And my prayer is that this Pentecost, we would receive such a feeling of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. So Pentecost, what happened to them? I believe that what happened to them, you know, sometimes they talk about things and they'll say, oh, powered by Nokia or powered by EE or whatever. They became new people. They became powered by the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 tells us that we'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us to be witnesses. So these guys, they had now become powered by the Holy Spirit. They weren't the same people that they were anymore. Before they received the Holy Spirit, Jesus had said to them in John 14:12, he had said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. Just think about some of the things Jesus did. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised Lazarus. He touched the sick. The lame walked. He did awesome things. And he said, you guys are going to do even greater works, right? And then Jesus dies. And then what do they do, some of them? Do we know what they did? These people that were destined to go and do greater works, what did they do? They said, well, I'm going fishing. They didn't do greater works. Before they had been fishing, Jesus said, now I'm making you fishers of men. They demoted themselves. They said, let's go back to fishing. And they went back to fishing, right? But these were guys that were destined for greater work. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they started to, from that day, if we read the whole of Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes on them. And from that day, Peter, who had been so cowardly before, he stands before these guys and he preaches boldly. And the Bible says 3,000 were added to the church that day. From the moment the Holy Spirit came upon him, I pray that God would baptize us and fill us with the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, I think that's when we become like Jeremiah. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, I know I should share this gospel. I know I should preach. I know I should spend more time with God, but I'm struggling, but I can't. Or I have other priorities. I'm chasing this. I'm chasing that. Jeremiah said he didn't want to preach this word anymore. In fact, preaching this word was causing too much problems for him. He'll preach the word. They will persecute him. Everybody hated him. It was like, is he the only one? So Jeremiah said he made up his mind that I'm not even going to say this God's word anymore. I'm just going to keep it, and I'm not enough. But he said, your word became like fire in my bones. I couldn't keep it in. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. I love this song. It's one of my favorite songs. The song says that, set your fire within me. Fire that I can't contain, that I can't contain, that I can't control. You know why I like that song? Because if it's up to me, it's a bit hit and miss. In fact, it's less than hit and miss. But when the Holy Spirit is in you, and it's in a way that I can contain and control it, I can't help but deploy. I can't help but share the word. I can't help but be who he's called me to be. And that's what happened to these guys. These guys that had been cowardly before, they became the same people. We talked about this in vigil, that they're passing by on their way to the temple, you know, coming to church like we do. And they see the lame guy, and the lame guy says, you know, is begging for alms. These guys, they're now full of power. They're now full of the Holy Spirit. And Peter looks at him and says, silver and gold, I don't have. But what I have, what I am busting with, what I am full of, I'll give to you. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And I find it so amazing. He didn't just say, rise up and walk, and the guy doesn't walk, right? And we say, the guy didn't connect his faith. He says, rise up and walk. And he grabs the guy and pulls him up. Imagine seeing some lame person out there and say, ah, I'm coming out of church with fire. Rise up and walk. Now, before you do that kind of thing, you know that person must walk, right? Otherwise, but he knew what he had. Before the Holy Spirit came, if Peter was passing by that man, he'll probably just say, I'm sorry, I don't have any, right? I don't think that's the first day that man was by the gate. But Peter now had something different. Peter was a new man. And my prayer for myself, my prayer for you is that this Holy Spirit that has been promised to us, this Holy Spirit that's to empower us to go out there and do greater works, empower us to be able to face persecution, that we will be full of him in the name of Jesus. And so the disciples, we see them, they're doing greater works. And that greater works verse, you know, I did School of Disciples. And for those that have done School of Disciples, that's our theme. You know, greater works. You know, and we say greater works, and we kind of like, for those who schooled in Nigeria, you know how you say great if and you all say great. That's how our greater works is. You say greater works and everybody says greater works. But it's such a challenge, because are we doing those greater works? Am I doing those greater works? I'm not. Do I want to? Yes, I do. But this is the secret. Before Acts 2, they couldn't. After Acts 2, they were empowered. I pray that we will be empowered in Jesus' name. I don't want to be empowered in the future. I want to be empowered today. And I pray for you that you will be empowered today as well in Jesus' name. So we receive this power, but it's not just so that we're empowered and we're full of it. It's so that we can go out there and be his witnesses. Acts 1:8, Jesus was clear. He said you would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. He didn't say you'll receive power so that you will be so wealthy the world would envy you. He said to be my witnesses. That's why you receive the power. That's why you receive the power. If we receive the power and we do nothing with it, an analogy that I think of is the battery. You know, if a battery is full of power and it just stays on the shelf doing nothing, what happens eventually? Does it just stay full of power? Does it? No. What happens? It discharges, and then it doesn't have any power anymore. But what would have happened? Tragedy. It never did anything with that power. Wasted life. And a lot of lives are like that. Receive the Holy Spirit full of power. Can do greater works, but never do anything with it. The power would eventually discharge, but what a wasted life. I pray for myself. I pray for you. That will not be our story in Jesus' name. That will not be people that God fills us up full of potential, can turn Leicester upside down, but we never deploy. We come in here and we're just full of all the power in this four buildings, and we step out into a different story. I pray that will not be our testimonies in Jesus' name. So the Holy Spirit, he came upon them, filled them up, filled them with power. They used the power. He gave them gifts, like he's given us gifts and he'll give us gifts, and they had to use it. If they hadn't used it, Paul talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit, not quenching the Holy Spirit, grieving him, not making him sad, not making him sorrow. I pray that the Holy Spirit will not be grieved over you and I. Not quenching him, what does that mean? That means when you reduce the expression of the Holy Spirit in you, when you're reducing the work and the things that he wants to do through you, I pray that that will not be us, and that if it is currently us, God would help us, that from today there will be positive change in the name of Jesus. So all these things, they don't happen by chance. They can't. We have to be intentional. We have to be disciplined. We have to be consistent. We have to do the things that we talk about every Sunday. We have to get into the Word. We have to pray. We have to be yielded to Him. And today, more than sharing, I want us to pray. So we're going to be praying, and I want you to pray with all your heart. We're going to, the rest of the time that we have in church, we're just going to pray. And I think my prayer is that God, this Pentecost 2018, I don't just want to mark it with all the other Christians around the world. I want to be marked this Pentecost. When you see me tomorrow, I want you to know that, I'm on fire. This woman's a different woman, and I want that to be your testimony too. When you go to school tomorrow, when you go to work, let them know that there's something different. You know, for some of us, it's a case of when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit and we start to do the things that we should be doing, it's like, wow, who are you? But I pray that that would be our testimony. So we're going to pray, and it doesn't matter what position you take, as long as you're praying from your heart. If you want to lie prostrate before God, do it. And our prayer today, and I believe, and I've been praying that the Holy Spirit would visit us in an unprecedented way today. So you're going to pray, you're going to pray, you're going to pray with all your heart and say, Holy Spirit, like you rested upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost, rest upon me, fill me with your Spirit. I want to be empowered by you. I don't want to be trying to do this Christian thing myself. Help me, help me, help me. The disciples, they were different men from the moment they were filled. And the feeling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, it's not a one-off thing. In Acts 2, they received the baptism. In Acts 4, the Bible says they were filled again. Not a one-off thing. So say, Father, fill me, fill me, fill me. I want you to pray with all your heart. This is a prayer that can change everything, everything for you.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can contain, that I can control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can contain, that I can control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can contain, that I can control. Lord, I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can contain, that I can control. Lord, I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can contain, that I can control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can contain, that I can control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can contain, that I can control. I want more of you, God.
want more of you, God. As we continue to pray, I encourage you, pray like you've never prayed before today. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to touch us, and my prayer is that none of us would miss his touch. So pray with all your heart. Don't be distracted. Lift up your voice and pray. If you want someone to agree with you, to pray with you, you can come forward. The ministers will. But whether you do that or not, just pray. Said, as wicked as men are, if they would give good gifts to their children, how much more would the Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? Open your mouth and ask. Somewhere in the Bible it says you don't have because you don't ask. Ask. Open your mouth and ask Him.
God, we would be yielded to you. We would obey you. We would do your will. We would
run the race you set before us. We would not miss God. We would not miss you. Our priorities would be right. It would be all about you, Jesus. All about you, Jesus. All about you, Jesus. All about you, Lord. Use us, Father. Use us, Father. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your touch. Thank you for your feeling. Thank you, because we would never be the same in the name of Jesus. We would never be the same. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. After the Holy Spirit filled the disciples, after they received the touch from God, like I believe we have today, one thing was key, and it's the same with us. It was key. They had to stay connected with Him. We have to stay connected with Him. They had to stir up and use those gifts. They had to use the power and deploy it. So I want you to just pray for yourself and say, Father, help me. That from today, as I step out of your house, that I would stay connected with you and I would start to use the power you have deposited on the inside of me. Every gift you have placed within me, every grace upon my life, that as I step out of this building, that I would start to use in the name of Jesus. I would not be like that battery on the shelf that discharges, doing nothing, a useless life. Father, help me. Let me be like Jeremiah, that even if I say I'm not going to do it, Father, let your word be like fire in my bones. Let me not be able to sleep till I do your will, Father. My life would not be a waste. I would fulfill your purpose for me. Father, whatever it takes, if you need to superimpose your will upon my own, Father, in your mercy, do it. Pray for yourself. That, Father, I cannot go through this life and not fulfill your purpose. I would not keep this power dormant inside me. I would be everything you've called me to be. If it costs me a job, so be it. If it costs me my reputation, so be it. If it makes men hate me, so be it. I am on the Lord's side. Pray that God would help you. That His grace upon your life, His gift, His calling on your life, it would not be in vain. Pray it with all your heart. We don't want to experience God in the church building and when we get outside, there's nothing. God forbid. We come here to be equipped to go out there and take over our world. Father, help me. As I step out of your house today, I step into greater works. I step into purpose. I step into doing your will. I would never be the same again to your glory. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you. We decree that every prayer that we have prayed today, every single prayer that we have prayed, the ones we have spoken out, the ones we have prayed in our hearts, we decree that in accordance to your perfect will, they all receive answers in the name of Jesus. We decree that we are a people walking in power, walking in purpose in the name of Jesus. We decree that like the disciples after Pentecost, that we go out there and we take our world for Jesus in the name of Jesus. We decree that when persecution and suffering comes, that we are people that are victorious in the name of Jesus. None of us would deny you. None of us would be ashamed of you because we carry power in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray that even as we leave, that you continue to minister to us. We pray for our children, for our babies, for our young ones, that the encounter we have had today, that it would be their portion as well in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this week because it would be a week like no other in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, go before us, order our steps. Help us to go out there and walk in purpose. Help us to go out there and do your will. Let us come back at the end of this week with testimonies of greater works in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's share the grace and fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen.